So we turn our attention tonight to the bottom of Laman Hema Beis Menachos, as promised last time, where we're shifting from spending a little bit of time on the Cheftza Shel Tefillin to a focus on Hanachas Tefillin, to focus on the halachas are not just relevant to the sofer. Last time we were talking about the last couple chaburis, we were talking about the Seder HaParshis, how you organize the four different klafim inside of the Shalrosh. And that was really sort of fascinating. And as you saw, Lamdas and Hashkafa and Halacha Lamaisa only for Sofim. So we're going to, and that continues over the course of Lamed Hei Amud Aleph to most of Lamed Hei Amud Beis. The halachas of the Cheftza Shel Tefillin, how you construct Tefillin. The halachas are relevant primarily for Sofrim and for Batamachers, about the Ritzuas and the color of the Ritzuas and the fact that it has to be square in various places and what type of knots you make and so on and so forth. I want to turn our attention now to the pivot, to the Gemara, the bottom of Lamed Hei Amud Beis pivots from the halachas of the Cheftza Shel Tefillin to the practical halachas of the hanhaga of tefillin, what every Jew does, the halachas of the wearer, how you put them on, how you treat them, and it begins here, the bottom of Lamed Hei Amud Beis, with a discussion about brachos, about the Birkas HaMitzvahs, that begins Lamed Hei Amud Beis, and as we're going to see, Mirtz Hashem next week, continues on to Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. So let's take a look. 7-8 lines off the bottom of Lamed Hei Amud Beis. Amar of Shmuel Bar Bidri, Amar Rav, V'Amri La Amar of Acha Aricha, Amar of Huna, V'Amri La Amar of Menashe, Amar Shmuel. The three different versions of who exactly made the following statement. It's one of the early Amorim quoted by his Talmuds. It's either Rav or Rav Huna or Shmuel. It's either Rav Shmuel Bar Bidri quoting his Rebbe Rav, or it's Rav Acha Aricha quoting his Rebbe Rav Huna, or it's Rav Menashe quoting his Rebbe Shmuel. Happens to be all three versions. The Rebbe is very well known, but he's being quoted by a more obscure Talmud. We don't hear that often about Rav Shmuel Bar Bidri, Rav Acha Aricha, Rav Menashe. Okay, but be that as it may, Shalom Aleichem, welcome in. As we have a statement here, the bottom of Lamed Hei Amud Beis Menachos, either Rav said it or Shmuel said it or Huna said it. What? Tefillin me'emasai mevarach aleihem mishas hanachasin. When do you make the bracha on the tefillin? Mishas hanachasin. From the time that you put them on. So the Gemara says, that's really very hard to imagine. And the Rav Yehuda was Shmuel, but Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Kol ha-mitzvahs kulan mevarach alein over lasiyasin. A seven-word principle that the Gemara quotes in many, many mesechtas. You see that test sends you on the side. It appears here in Menachos and appears in Megillah, appears famously twice in Pesachim, appears in Sukkah, appears in Nida. Kol ha-mitzvahs kulan mevarach alein over lasiyasin. All mitzvahs, one says the bracha over lasiyasin, over to the asiyah. The Gemara here doesn't spend time defining the word over, and the Gemara elsewhere, for instance, in Pesachim Dav Zayin is the most famous sugya of over lasiyas. And the Gemara spends some time quoting various sugyim. What exactly does this word over mean? The Gemara proves that over means in advance of. Various sugyim, to be over, to pass, often means to pass ahead of. Eliyahu, it runs in front of the king. Vayavar is Hakushi. And the Gemara quotes a series of different psukim that all indicate that over means to be in advance of. So Kol HaMitzvahs Kulan, coming back to the Gemara, Kol HaMitzvahs Kulan Mevarach Alein over Lasiyasin, that seven-word principle that Shmuel is quoted in various Masechet as having said, all mitzvahs, you make the bracha over Lasiyasin, in advance of the Asiyah. And that seems to be at odds with what we just said, perhaps the name of Shmuel or some other early Amora, Rav Huna or Rav, that you make the bracha mishas hanachasim. You make the bracha from the time that you put them on. Rashi says, mishas hanachasim mashal achashenicha. I mean, it sounds like after you had their own. Once it's filler on, so then you make the bracha. So how could that be? You have to make Birkas HaMitzvah in advance of the in advance of the asiya, it has to be before, and it can't be after the nacha, it has to be before the nacha. So the Gemara says, Abai Rava, Dami Travayu, Abai Rava agree. Typically, we hear one quoted or the other, or we hear them both. We hear both of them quoted. Usually, we're hearing two different opinions. We hear the machlokas Abai Rava, but every once in a while, Abai Rava, Dami Travayu, Abai Rava both says the same thing. Mishas Hanacha Va'ad Shas Kshira. From when you place it until when you tie it. So Rashi explains what's going on here. My Mishas Hanachas and the Ka'amah, the bottom Rashi, here in Laman Hema Beis, what did he mean? Whichever Amora was who said Mishas Hanachas, what did he mean? He meant Mishas Hanacha Va'ad Shas Kshira. From when you place it until, from the Hanacha up until the tying, Kevin Da'dayin Lo Kisharan, over Las Yasanu. You haven't yet tied it, so it's still over Las Yasanu. Now the Muki Yosef and others point out, and Rashi essentially is saying it, Rashi might be saying it, the Muki Yosef makes it clearer, that part of the movement from having to Maskana is that we retranslated the word Hanacha. Now the Gemara initially thought, before we dig into what the Gemara is trying to tell us, just to appreciate the flow of the Shaka Vitaria, the Gemara originally thought Mishas Hanacha means after the Hanacha, right? And that was a problem because it's over Las Yasa. The Gemara said, no, it means after the Hanacha, but before the Kshira. So how do we solve the problem? So as Muki Yosef points out, we use the term Hanachas Tfilin to mean the Maisa Mitzvah of Tefillin. As a matter of fact, as we're going to see in Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, the next Amud, we say the Bracha for Shal Yad L'Haniach Tefillin. So Hanachas Tefillin, that's already in Chazal, the Hanachas Tefillin usually means the process of Puyan Tefillin. Legin Tefillin. But Nebuk Yosef points out that Abai and Rav are suggesting that when the whichever Amor it was said Mishas Hanachas, and he actually didn't mean that. In that context, he meant literally Hanacha as opposed to Kshira. We use the word Hanacha to mean the entire process of putting on tefillin, but here we meant literally placement. Lehaniach means to cause something to be nach, to cause something to come to rest. No. So Hanacha, really, you're not makayim anything. If you put your tefillin loosely on your arm, but you haven't done kshira, so you haven't been yotzei anything. That's not the ma'aseh mitzvah. Ukshartum le'os al yadecha. Yeah. So what are you asking? Correct, exactly. So the Gemara, right, the Gemara is, that's what Muki Yosef points out, the Gemara is Abai and Rava are shifting how you translate Hanacha. We would have, in the Havmini, we thought Hanacha meant what Hanacha tefillin usually means, putting on tefillin. That was the whole kit and caboodle. We originally thought that Mishas Hanachasan meant after you're all done, you have your tefillin on, they're totally, properly in place, done, tightened, and then you say the bracha. Right, the way you say a bracha on lightning and thunder. We might have the chance to be mekayim that soon as well, it sounds like. So you hear the thunder, then you make the bracha. First you see the lightning, and then you make the bracha. So the Gemara originally thought that first put your tefillin on, then once you're wearing tefillin, then make the bracha. And Bar Rava said, no. Hanacha doesn't mean, in this context, the full process of putting tefillin. We just meant literally placing it. Putting it into position, but you haven't yet done the kshira. Now, I want to circle back to what the significance of this is, but let me just, as a footnote, point out, I don't want to focus on this, but there is a, yeah. Ah, very good. Oh, good. So, let's jump straight into that. The Rishonim actually are bothered. I mentioned before when we were beginning to look at the Gemara here doesn't spend time to define the term over, but elsewhere, in Pesachim and elsewhere, the Gemara does feel the need to quote several psukim to demonstrate how to properly translate over. The over means in advance of. So that we've shown him in several places. Eventually, this Gemara gets quoted in Megillah and Pesachim and so forth. So the Rishonim in several places raise that question. So the, you see, the Ritva Megillah raises this. He raises it in Pesachim also. Meiri raises it. Mukhi Yosef talks about it. Let's take a look at the Ritva and Megillah. That's where the Gemara, the Megillah say, "My mashma dahay over lashon akdumi." How do you know the word "over" means in advance of? The Gemara quotes a series of psukim. Kodem. So Ritva says, so why indeed did we use such a complicated word? We use the word over lasiyasa, and then we have to take pains to explain what the over means kodem. That's lishna da'akdumi. It means going in advance of. So just skip the whole complexity. Just say kodem lasiyasa. Why did Shmuel feel the need to use an awkward word that requires a footnote, that requires explanation? Just say, but why over lasiyasan? Why use the awkward word? So Ritva gives all the Chachmei Sfarad give more or less the same answer. To tell you that you shouldn't pause too much between saying the bracha and the fulfilling the mitzvah, elashi avar mizulu zuli alter. That instead, you're supposed to pass, shift, and that's the word over, from one to the other right away. He says, Yerusha quotes God, not to quote Yerushalmi, says, Mishal kadei kol abracha chozer mubarach lefaneha. Yerushalmi actually says that there's a shear of pausing. If it's a long enough pause between the bracha and the mitzvah, so then it's actually not only wasn't right to do l'chatchila, it was wrong to have pause, but you may disqualify the bracha. And that shear of time is shaha kadei ligmor es kula. If I said the bracha, and then I paused for the length of time it takes me to say the bracha, let's say it takes me 4 seconds to say the bracha, 5 seconds. I say the bracha, and then I pause for 6 seconds. Then I'm ready to do the mitzvah. You say, I'm sorry, you got to repeat the bracha. No, so this is really serious. The bracha has to be said not too far in advance. Ya'avar mizu lezu la'alter. The Ritva in Pesachim talks about that now in terms of pausing. Pirshu de lahachi nakad hai lishna v'la nakad lishna kodem. Once again, the same question, why are we using this awkward term over instead of the more typical term kodem? It's giving you this added piece of information. Not only should you make the bracha beforehand, but don't have downtime, don't have a lag. Unless the pause is for the mitzvah. You made the bracha, then you realize that the hadassim are coming apart. You need to retie it. You made the bracha, then you realize that the tefillin need to be adjusted somewhat. He says, after all, even sicha, not only pausing, even if you're actually talking, if it's mitzorche mitzvah, that's not a hefsek. It's a gemara bracha stuff, mem. Okay. And maybe let's just see the way the Meiri has the same idea. Meiri sharpens it a little bit and adds another dimension. Take a look here. The Meiri also Megillah Chafalf. He says it has to be over Lasiyasan. Ritzon olomer takeif lasiyasan immediately before. Mitamz appear shram shetafas batamu lashon overlo tafas lashon kodem. Many Rishonim in the Meiri reports. Many Rishonim explain that the reason why the Gemara chose the term over rather than kodem lashon over mashma takeif lasiya. And so now the Meiri gives us a slightly sharper, crisper formulation. That's a question of not just a connotation, over means to pass from one to the other, is that's what the word over means. Over is not the same as kodim. They're not exactly synonyms. They're similar, they're not identical. Kodim means before, but over, as the Meiri just pointed out, properly would be translated as immediately before. Immediately before. So that means as opposed to afterwards, but also as opposed to too far in advance. That's what Ritva essentially was saying. The Meiri points out it's really a question of how you translate the word. And then the Meiri adds another angle. Maybe it had less to do with timing. Maybe over means that the item is present in front of you. You make the bracha on Mikra Megillah, the Megillah is already here. You make the bracha on Tkiyah Shofar, the Shofar is right here. The Lulav is already here. And so on and so forth. Now, by the way, let's take this back. So this is why we showed him say many mesechtas. Over la asiyasan means not just before the asiyasan mitzvah, before the ma'aseh mitzvah, but it means immediately before the ma'aseh mitzvah, without any subsequent lag time, without getting busy in some other conversation. And the truth is, if you look back to our Gemara, Ari, I think you were starting to say this before. It's our Gemara. With this in mind, you take a look at our Gemara. Ari, I think you started to say this before. Originally, the Gemara thought that the Chiddush of the whichever Amora it was, that Mitvil Mevarach Aleim Mishasan Achasan, we originally thought the Chiddush was you say the bracha after you're done with the Ma'aseh Mitzvah. And the Gemara says it can't be because Shmuel said you have to make it before the Ma'aseh Mitzvah. So what about Rava answering? So we said before, on a technical level, Abayin Rava, as Nimuk Yosef points out, are changing the definition, the translation of the word over, of the word hanacha. The here hanacha doesn't mean the whole process of putting it in film, it means specifically, literally, hanacha, putting it in place. You position your tefillin, but you haven't yet tied them. And that's when you make the bracha. So what's the chiddush? So mishasan achasan really means that you make the bracha specifically after the tefillin are in place. So that captures these two meanings of over. That it means takeif immediately before and with the item already present. In other words, the birkas mitzvah has to be said. The birkas mitzvah has to be said bedavka immediately before. In other words, the chiddush is not how late. Originally, the havmina was that the chiddush of the zemar was how late you make the bracha. You make the bracha after the hanachas tefillin is done. And now we're saying adrava. The chiddush, the maskana, according to Bayin Rava, the chiddush of Rav Shmuel Rav Huna was how early. Don't make the bracha too early. Don't make the bracha until the tefillin are already in place. And this comes up all the time. For talis, for tefillin, for all sorts of brachas, that we sometimes err on either extreme. And sometimes both extremes simultaneously. In other words, on the one hand, the din of over la'asiyasan means I have to say the bracha in advance of the ma'aseh mitzvah. That means that I cannot start the ma'aseh mitzvah until the bracha is done. So that means that I can't already start tightening the tefillin when I'm still saying the word b'mitzvosav. Often, if I'm not aware of it, I'll often I start saying the bracha, I already start putting the tefillin. Right? Before I've said the words l'sati b'tzitzis, I'm already wrapped in my towels. Before I've finished al atil yadayim, I'm already wiping my hands with the towel. So the din of Shmuel over l'asiyasan as opposed to afterwards means that the entire bracha has been over l'asiyasan. So I have to complete the entire bracha up until and including the last word before I even begin the ma'aseh mitzvah. So that's on the one hand. But on the other hand, it also means that I shouldn't even start the bracha until I'm fully ready for the mitzvah. I should be saying the bracha and the entire bracha on the one hand before, but on the other hand immediately before. So in other words, yeah. Yeah. Yes, the Lulav Asrug is interesting, right? The Gemara in the Psachim Daf Zayin, right, makes it sound like Lulav and Esrog is an exception. Lulav and Esrog, you make the bracha la'ach after the asiyah because you have no choice. That's the way it sounds like in the Gemara. It sounds like you're gonna make the bracha after you've already picked it up. As soon as you pick up, you're ready to yotze. Okay, you continue to hold it. So you make the bracha on continuing to hold it. And then Tosas comes up with a suggestion. Well, how about if you take the lulav and hold the esrog upside down? And that's our practice to follow Tosas, hold the esrog upside down so that you're not yotze anything until after you say finish the bracha, I'll see this lulav, and only then do you turn it over. And let me ask you a question. What's so difficult? Well, you have to hold the esrog upside down, so complicated. Oh, but a chop, because you only yoseg derech kedilosin. Just have a little of an esrog on the table and say the bracha and then pick them up. Wouldn't that be a simpler solution? To hold the esrog upside down, especially if you have an esrog with a pitim, you're risking your pitim. Well, who needs it? Just leave the esrog and lulav on the table, leave them in the case, say the bracha. And then pick them up. So the answer is our sugya. The answer is this approach in Mukhe Yosef, Ritva, and Meiri, which is really, as you point out, our Gemara. You're only allowed to start saying the bracha once the tefillin are munachim. I'm not allowed to start making the bracha when I'm still unwrapping, unwinding the ritzuos from the bais. That's too early. I have to do all the unwinding, and actually, not unwinding, and now that I'm holding the tefillin in my hand already, but actually have it in place. I take the tefillin, the ritzuos are loose, and then I actually slide it already up my arm into place. It's all ready, but I haven't done the kshira yet. Everything but the kshira. In other words, to use a term, to borrow terminology that comes up elsewhere in halacha, it shouldn't be mechusar masa. There should be no other action remain to be done other than the actual Maaseh Mitzvah. All the preparatory steps are already completed. So if with the lulav, apparently, if I'm not even holding it yet, that's too early. And that's sort of along the lines of what the second half of the Meiri had said. I have to have the cheftza lefan, not just lefan, a present, but in hand. So why not say, right? So why not say I should have it on the table, but I have my hands on the lulav and esrog, but I'm not gripping yet. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. That's what Rishonim saw. The Gemara seemed to be making that call, that if you're not even holding the chafetz, it's too early. But you're right. But part of the rub is that all you need for the core, for the minimal Maaseh Mitzvah, is to hold it. So it's sort of a catch-22. We are assuming it's not just that there's an absolute need to be holding the Chafetz. If there's a Chafetz to hold, there's an absolute need to be holding the Chafetz before you make the bracha. So much so that it might mean you actually end up being yotzei the mitzvah, begin to be yotzei the mitzvah before you recite the bracha by lulav, right? Unless you use Tosus's trick of having the upside down esrog. And that is the chiddush of our Gemara. It's only mishas hanacha, no earlier, meaning only after it's no longer mechus maisa. So it needs to be immediately before. Now, of course, this also raises the question: there's so much stress on overlas yase means dafka right before. And that's all Gemara after Rebbe Munach, and as we were saying before, lachal maisa, I shouldn't actually start the Maaseh Mitzvah until after I complete the last word of the bracha. I also should not even begin the bracha. All the preparatory steps should be completed before I even begin the bracha. As I was saying before, so practically speaking, we often err on either or both of those simultaneously. Right? Entirely yitachen that I'm going to start making the bracha while I'm still unwrapping the ritzuos, and I start doing the kshira before I finish the bracha. So that's sort of kerech mikan and mikan. Right? So one needs to be careful about both halves of overlas yasam, to recite the entire bracha before the Maaseh Mitzvah, and on the other hand, to recite the entire bracha after all the preparation is done. Now the Ritva goes on to raise the next question, which is why? Why? Why do we care so much about Las Yasin? What's wrong with the Havamina? You put on your tefillin, you make a bracha. Again, we might do it very soon for Thunder. So why not have Mishal San Chasan? Or why not just say the bracha after? Why this incredible insistence? Again, the first question, sort of a technical question, why are we insisting using this obscure word over instead of just using kodim? The Ritva's second question, and this is specifically the Ritva Amsachim, is that, forget about how you formulate it. What do you need the din for at all? Chazal wants to be misakin birksa mitzvah. Gevaldik, be misakin birksa mitzvah. But who cares when you make it? Again, I understand you can make it way too early. That half of over last yesin, as opposed to way too early. Yeah, it's not mitzur. I can make the bracha 5 minutes later, do the mitzvah. Even 30 seconds later, do the mitzvah. And there's a lack of tzir between the bracha and the maisa mitzvah. I understand. Right? Okay. But let's say there's no, I'll make the bracha immediately after I do the mitzvah. Or while I'm still involved in the mitzvah, I'm still wearing the tefillin. What's wrong? What's wrong? So b'di'evet, I definitely can make the bracha as long as I'm still wearing the tefillin. But what's wrong with doing that, choosing to do lechatchila? So Ritva says something very fascinating. And I want to show you a Ritva. And I also want to share with you a Rambam that I think I shared with at least one or two of you earlier this week. And I think we're going to see a very fascinating machlokas Ritva and Rambam. And it may be relevant to another sheet of the Rambam, Lehalacha. The Ritva writes as follows. In Megillah, he just talks about the question of what over Las Yasin means. But here in Psachim, he moves from the question of what to the question of why. In the second paragraph, the Chosef HaRitzal, the Ritva wrote, you might be wondering, why is Ritva calling himself, referring to himself in the third person? So the answer is Ritva Amsachim, what we call Chiddush Ritva Amsachim, is really the written by his, largely by his Talmidim. If you want to be technical, you would call the Talmidei HaRitva Amsachim. Like Rabbeinu Yonah in the back on the Rif on Brachas, is really, strictly speaking, Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. So they call Rabbeinu Yonah all the time. So here, this Sefer Amsachim, they call it the Ritva all the time in third person, because it's the Talmidim calling their Rebbe. The Chosef HaRitzal, Rabbeinu Yom Tov, the Ritva wrote, the Tam Zeh Sha'amru Chazal Levarecha HaMitzvah Olas Yasin. What's the reason? Why did Chazal say you ought to make a bracha on the Mitzvah of Olas Yasin? Who cares? Kadesh is Kadesh Tchila B'bracha. He says that the language is very rich and very nuanced. So let's read carefully. Kadesh is Kadesh Tchila B'bracha. He says, number one, you want to be Mekadesh yourself first with the bracha. Sounds like before you even do the mitzvah, you should first infuse yourself with Kedusha. How are you going to do that? By saying a bracha. V'yigala v'yodia, you're making it evident, and you're articulating, you're telling everyone around you, and perhaps most importantly, telling yourself, pronouncing, shu ose ose p'nei mitzvah Hashem Yisbarach. What I'm about to do, I'm doing it because God wants me to do it. It's not just that I'm hungry. I'm about to eat this matzah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects me to eat the matzah. It's not just that these are beautiful plants. I'd love to hold them and smell them and touch them. But I'm about to pick up Lulav and Esrog because that's mitzvah Hashem. And you think about what the language you use in a Birkas HaMitzvah. Asher Kiddushom Sosav. Vitzivanu XYZ. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekadesh us with his mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu infused us with Kedusha, endowed us with Kedusha, through, gave us opportunity to fill ourselves with Kedusha through choosing to do mitzvahs, through choosing to live properly. It says, Kesha is Kadesh Tchila B'bracha, and Vitzivanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mitzvah means not just a good deed. Mitzvahs are good deeds, but the word mitzvah means a commandment. God commanded, God told me, this is what I need to do. I'm doing this, and that's why I'm doing it. So the Ritva says, that that's the purpose of a Birkas HaMitzvah, and that therefore explains the details. And that's always good, when the understanding, the core of an idea explains different details of that idea. So Ritva says, if you understand what a Birkas HaMitzvah is meant to accomplish, then you appreciate this particular detail of overlas yasin. The mitzvah is meant to prepare me for doing the mitzvah. The mitzvah is meant to set the stage for doing the mitzvah. That I'm already focused on Kedusha, I'm focused on Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm explaining in advance the reason why I'm doing this, because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectation. So to say that afterwards is not quite the same. Ex post facto, there'd be a postscript. By the way, what I did before, you know, that was L'man Hashem. That's not the same as explain in advance, right? That the way you'd want to communicate is before you engage, you lay out what's about to happen. So the Ritva says, we understand well why Chazal insisted on over lasiyasin. V'od, and then he has another explanation. Ki ha-brachos mi-avodos ha-nefesh, the brachos are part of the avoda of the soul. The roi la-hagdim avodos ha-nefesh, l'masa she-avodos ha-guf. And it's worthy, it makes sense, it's appropriate to sequence avodos ha-nefesh first, avodos ha-guf second. So it makes sense to say the bracha first, and the ma'isa mitzvah second. Now, I think what he means, at first that sounds like he's just restating what he said before. Yeah, you want your kavana to be in place before you do the ma'isa mitzvah. Why is this a va'od? So I think what he's saying in the second answer is it's not a question of in this moment I need to get my nefesh in place before I do the ma'isa. That was his first answer. I think his second answer is that you're making a general statement. This goes back to what we were talking about earlier this evening in shul. The comment of the Ramchal in the manuscript version of the introduction of Mesilas Yesharim. He talks about the primacy, the pride of place that Chovas Halavavos have vis-a-vis Chovas Eivarim. That's essentially what Ritva is saying. That it makes sense to highlight the Avodas HaNefesh, the Chovas Halavavos, before engaging in the Chovas Eivarim. Not because of the impact it will have right now, but to make a general statement there, Achavan Liba Boy. We're making a general statement. Chazal told us whenever you do a mitzvah, you should say the bracha, not say the bracha, but say the bracha first. Why? That reinforces that Chovas Halavavos are so, so important, that they come first before the Chovas Eivarim. I think that's what he means in the second answer. But the first answer was saying, practically speaking, that this bracha will enhance the way I fulfill this mitzvah. And that's why I have to say this bracha first. That is the approach of the Ritva. Again, two versions, but both assuming that the bracha stands for and activates the Chovas Halavavos aspect of the mitzvah. The thinking and the feeling of the mitzvah. So I engage in that before I engage in the act of the mitzvah. That is the Ritva. And Rabbi Brian Gopin, who's a member of our shul, pointed out to me many years ago that the Ritva, this idea is more famous as the Nodi Behuda. Ritva lived in the 1300s. Nodi Behuda lived in the 1700s, 1800s. But this idea is more famous as being Nodi Behuda, but it's already this Ritva Psachim Dav Zayin. The Nodi Behuda was, this is a tshuva that he wrote, actually in 1776. Tav Kuf Lamed Vav, Chav Beis Sivan. Tav Kuf Lamed Vav. Sunday, the 22nd of Sivan, Tav Kuf Lamed Vav. And when I first saw that date, I thought maybe it was July 4th, 1776. It's not, but it's close. It's, I think, June 9th, 1776. He was talking about a different type of revolution. He was being asked about Hasidus, and specifically about Sein L'Shem Yichud. Very, very fascinating. It's this tshuva is worthy of a shiur or a lecture in its own right. Maybe some other time we can do that. But in the course of the Nodi Behuda was not encouraging saying L'Shem Yichud. He says, but you told me it's important to have a kesher amit b'dibur machshava u'maisa, to have a strong bond between speech, thought, and action. He says, of course, that's the purpose of Birkas HaMitzvahs. Anshei Yagin Sagadol, or Mesakin, Tfilas Nebrachas. Brach is his orus ha-dibur machshava. He actually goes on to say in Nebi Yehuda that his practice was when he was about to do a mitzvah which does not call for a bracha, he would say his own statement, personal statement, Hini Osa Davarza L'Kayim Mitzvahs Bori. I'm about to give tzedakah in order to mekayim mitzvah the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandment. I'm about to be engaged in an act of kibud avim to fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandment. And so on and so forth. So the Neo Yehuda is talking along the lines of the Ritva. A powerful idea. There is a very, very fascinating Rambam. And the Rambam that we were talking about the other night, a Rambam that the Rav gave a very, very powerful insight into, very subtle and powerful diuk, and I believe that once you read the Rambam as the Rav did, it actually brings it into contrast with the Ritva. So here we are with the Rambam. Let's take a look. The very beginning of Hilchos Brachos, there's one mitzvah d'oraisa in Hilchos Brachos, and that is actually a mitzvah in this week's parsha. The Rama opens Parak Aleph of Hilchos Brachos with that mitzvah seimen haTorah of Birkas HaMazon. Then he begins to talk about various expansions of the concept of saying brachos, various drabban expansions of that concept. So Halacha Aleph, Halacha Beis, he talks about different types of Birkas Hanen in Midrabanan, saying Birkas HaMazon less than a full meal, saying bracha achron on food other than bread. And the saying bracha rishona, bracha on smells. And then here, halacha dal, he points out there are three categories of brachas. Birchas hana'ah, birchas hamitzvahs, and birchas hodah. Derech shavach uvada uvakasha. So halacha dal gives you the three categories, but take a look at the way he introduces them. And we said halachas alf and beis are birchas hananin. And then he says halacha gimel, we're expecting to hear about two more categories, birchas hamitzvahs and birchas hodah. Just as you make a bracha on pleasure, birkas hanen, so too you have birkas mitzvahs. You say the bracha and then you do the mitzvah over lasiyasan. So that's how he introduced the second category, birkas mitzvahs, is kishem kach. Just as you have birkas hanen, so too have birkas mitzvahs. Ooh, brachas rabbis, take a chav, derech shavach, vahodaya, vaderech bakasha. And Chazal, we're misaking many brachas, birkas shevach, birkas hodah, birkas bakasha. The Rav pointed out, I understand, the birkas hamitzvahs got added with a kishem kach, just as this, so to that. A strong logical equation. The third category just got a vav, u brachas rabos. So the Rav suggested that the birkas shevach hodah are a new category. But birkas hamitzvahs, the Rambam seems to be implying, it's fundamentally the same as birkas hananin. Just like you make a bracha on food, so too you make a bracha on mitzvahs. What? Just like? So it may refer simply to the fact that you make the bracha in advance. You make a bracha rishon before you eat, you make a bracha birkas hamitzvah before you do the mitzvah. Rav suggests it's more than that. It's an explanation of why. The Rav suggested the Rambam here is addressing himself. We saw the Ritva Mtsachim address himself to the question of why. Why make Birkas HaMitzvahs at all? And that also explained why specifically beforehand. So the Rav suggested that the Rambam here is addressing the question of why Birkas HaMitzvah. And the answer is, it's for the same reason you make Birkas HaNen. The Rambam had quoted in Halacha Beis from the Brachas Daf Lamed Hamed Aleph, the opening Amud of Parakeitz Mevarchin, Kol Nena Below Bracha Moal. You enjoy the world without a bracha. It's mi'ila. It's theft from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. LaHashem Ha'aretz Meloah. It's the bracha which converts it into HaShamayim Shamayim LaHashem but Ha'aretz Nosan Levnei Adam. The bracha gives me authority, gives me license, gives me permission to eat the food which was Ribono Shel'Olam's. Without a bracha, I'm stealing. So the Rav suggested, the Rama maybe is saying that Birkas HaMitzvah also are a matir. Just like the Birkas HaNen are matir, the food, it makes it kosher, and now I'm allowed to eat it, it's no longer theft, I have permission, so the Birkas HaMitzvah give me permission to do a mitzvah, which is a wild, remarkable idea. Mitzvahs are obligations, I have to do them. But the Rambam appears to be saying, according to Rav, I do have to do them. I don't have the right to just say, oh, I'm opting out. But at the same time, I have to do them. but they're also an extraordinary privilege. I need to ask for permission, leave to do mitzvahs. You're just going to trample into the, burst into the palace? You knock. You get permission to enter the palace. Even if you're coming to the palace to serve the king, but you're entering the palace. What a covet. You have to ask permission to enter the palace. You're about to enter into the palace of doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. It is an obligation. It's also an extraordinary privilege, sublime privilege. And we say a bracha to ask for permission to enter into the privilege of doing mitzvahs. Now, I think that's different than the ritva. The ritva understood that the Birkas HaMitzvah highlights the pnimius of the mitzvah, the chovas halavavos, the way he called that avos hanefesh, and that's why it comes first. Whether it's specifically preparing my mind and heart for the mitzvah about to do, or more generally making a statement about the primacy of the mind and heart in my avos Hashem. The Rambam is looking not so much at the pnimius of the mitzvah, but at the privilege aspect of mitzvah, recognizing that mitzvahs are a privilege. They're an obligation and also a privilege. I would suggest also that there may actually be enough gemina lemaisa in this machlokas. Again, it's a machlokas. Why do we make Birkas HaMitzvah at all? It's looking at concepts about mitzvahs in general, and which one explains why Chazal are masakin the whole notion of Birkas HaMitzvah, and that explains also more specifically for the ritva certainly. Why specifically, not only do we have to say Birkas HaMitzvahs, we have to say them in advance of the Asiyah. Now, there's an interesting machlokas that's usually presented as machlokas Rambam and Or Zoruah. How about if I was supposed to make the bracha before I did the mitzvah? I didn't. Now what? I did the shechita, and then I realized, oops, I forgot to say the bracha. So the Or Zeruah says, the later Chachmei Ashkenaz quote the Or Zeruah, when the earlier Ashkenazi Rishonim, Or Zeruah says, you're supposed to say the bracha beforehand. Okay, but if you didn't say the bracha beforehand, you did the wrong thing, but you should still say bracha now. Better late than ever. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam writes clearly that he says, the Rambam says, you did the shechita, and then you realize you never made the bracha, I'm sorry, it's too late. Rambam says, look, if it's a mitzvah that's ongoing, yeshiva basukah, wearing tefillin, I should have said the bracha before I even put the tefillin on. Okay, but if I'm still wearing the tefillin, so I can still make the bracha and that'll cover the rest of the time that I'm wearing the tefillin. The Rambam says, but the mitzvah already done, whether it's a mitzvah like shechita, which is a moment, or a tefillin, but I already took the tefillin off, and now I want to make the bracha. The Rambam says, over las yasin is not just l'chadchila, like the Or Zeruah says. Ram says, over las yasin is ma'akev b'dievad. The only way to make a bracha, Birkas HaMitzvah for the Rambam, is over las yasin. For the Or Zeruah, it's the ideal way. So, and that's a practical halacha l'maisa machlokas. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, but you still ate the food. In other words, you're still full. That's here too. You still got the mitzvah, but you missed out. According to Rama, you missed out on the dindrabanan of Birkas HaMitzvah, and you cannot fix it. According to Or Zeruah, you can still say the Birkas HaMitzvah immediately after. You have to be very soon afterwards, but the very immediately after the mitzvah is done, you can still say the bracha. So what's driving this machlokas? Whether over las yasan is ma'akev v'dievez, Rambam says, or just the ideal, what's required l'chadchila, as Or Zeruah says, I think it may be the question whether over las yasan is ma'akev or not depends on why you need over las yasan. And I think it's a Rambam l'shitasa. The Rambam said that the point that the way the Rav understood the Rambam, the bracha serves as a matir. So once the mitzvah is done, it's too late to ask for permission to do the mitzvah. Again, as you were saying before, and maybe I was yotze the mitzvah without the permission, but I clearly there's no point in asking for permission after I'm done. You barge into someone's house, and then on the way out, you knock on the door. That's absurd. It's too late. If it's not over the siyasa, there's no birkas mitzvah at all, according to Rambam. That's Rambam l'shitaso. The birkas mitzvah is a matir for the privilege of entering into the palace of the king. It's a matir for the privilege of living life as I'm obligated to live. But for the ritva, particularly according to the first approach to the ritva, the goal of the mitzvah is to infuse the ma'aseh mitzvah with the panemius of the mitzvah. So ideally, that should already be in place when you do the ma'aseh mitzvah. Ideally, you should make the bracha first. Okay. But it's still conceivable that if I already did the ma'aseh mitzvah, so now you'll add the panemius. Say the bracha afterwards. So it could be the Rambam is l'shitaso, and the Or Zeruah perhaps holds like the ritva. So again, let's just recap where we've been. The Gemara on Laban-Ham and Beis begins the Sugis Hanachas Tefillin, and that becomes a very significant word, actually, immediately. Mishas Hanachasan, we begin with the question of Bracha. The Birkas HaMitzvah is said after the Hanacha, which the Gemara ultimately concludes does not mean after you're done putting the tefillin on. It means literally after you've placed your tefillin, but before you did the actual kshira. And that captures, the Gemara essentially is telling us what the Rishonim are more explicit about. And translating the word over, that you need to, on the one hand, the bracha has to be before the act of the mitzvah. On the other hand, immediately before. Not too far in advance. So that's Mishas HaNachasan. Mishas HaNachasan kshira. And that led us to try to understand why. Is there a requirement to overlap siyasan? Number one, we just spoke now by Machlokes Rishonim, how strong is a requirement? The Or Zeruah says you're supposed to do overlap siyasan, but b'di'avad yiksuv mekayim the mitzvah overlap siyasan. Mekayim the bracha, say the bracha overlap siyasan. The Rambam says no, overlap siyasan is ma'akev in birkas mitzvah. If it's not overlap siyasan, don't bother saying it at all. So that's the Machlokes over how strong is the insistence, but the Machlokes also about why? Why the insistence? And that we saw two or three approaches. Ritva had two different versions, but essentially that the bracha relates to the panemius of the mitzvah. Panemius of this mitzvah or panemius of mitzvahs in general. The bracha relates to the panemius of the mitzvah. You have that in place before you do the ma'aseh mitzvah. Whereas the Rambam said, according to Rav Zdiuk, that the purpose of Birkas HaMitzvah is not to enhance and highlight and formulate and articulate the pnimius of the mitzvah. It's instead to ask permission. It's the matir for doing the mitzvah. And we suggested, number one, that each of those highlights very, very significant themes in our Avodas Hashem, to be attuned to the pnimius of the mitzvah, that mitzvah meant to be done both with the hands and feet and simultaneously also with the heart and mind. And to recognize the Rambam highlighted the privilege of doing mitzvahs. I leave you with one final point, not our focus, although it could have been. Tosfos raises a very intriguing question. We have been talking the whole time that the Maskana Sagamara is Mishas Hanach V'Ad Shas Kshira. Right, that I need to make the bracha after Hanacha, literally after it's put in place, but before the what? Before the, as my switch was, the kshira. So the very fascinating Tosfos, it begins here in the bottom of Lamehem and Beis and continues at length on Lam Vav and Aleph. Tosfos says, Rabbeinu Eliyahu was of the opinion, we have to actually tie the tefillin knot fresh every single day. Rabbi Yonatan Tam says that's absurd. That cannot be. Maybe we should actually take a look at that next time. So that's a fascinating machlokas. We know halacha ma'aseh pasuk Rabbi Yonatan Tam. We know halacha ma'aseh pasuk Rabbi Yonatan Tam that there's no need to tie the knot. Actually, next time we'll probably go on to Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Or Avnei Nezer points out, if you read the Tosas carefully, it seems like we understand that you actually couldn't do what Rabbi Eliyahu is recommending. Rabbi Tam holds that actually it wouldn't be a kesher shel kayama. If you retied your knot every single day, if your tefillin knot never lasted for 24 hours, that's not a kesher shel kayama. You might not even be yotze. That's what Avnei Nezer thinks. Maybe it needs to be a long-term knot. Rabbi Eliyahu understood ukshartim means literally you tie it. And the truth is, if you read through the language of the Rambam and these prakim, you do get the impression he uses the term kashira very heavily and consistently for the shel yad. The question is, did he understand like Rabbi Eliyahu? You actually have to tie the knot. Unlikely. Probably like Rabbi Natam. The Gemara says, not just the Rambam, the Gemara said kashira. But Rabbi Natam understands is that kashira means not the verb of tying, but it has to do with the knot, the noun of kesher. It's not tying, but it's the knot, accessing the knot. Shas kshira is when you tighten the tefillin into place, using the pre-existing knot. That's what it sounds like. Now, again, I'm not sure exactly what this looked like, but remember, bar mitzvah boys have a hard time even dealing with just the tightening. You know, it takes a certain amount of dexterity until you actually know how to put your thumb in the loop while you hold the loose part of the strap with your hand, and you figure out how to actually make it work. So, Rabbeinu Eliyahu's children, when they became bar mitzvah, they were figuring out how to hold the bias and tie the yud on the spot. It probably took more practice, but eventually, yeah, we usually make the knot with two hands because you make it when it's not on you. But it sounds like he actually made it on the spot, literally. You ready, mishas hanacha? You ready to have the bias on your bicep, and then you start tying. I guess with the right hand alone. Yeah, it does sound like it's quite a challenge of dexterity. Okay, halacha lamasa. There, Gemara, the Tosas quotes rise back and forth, pro and con. Lamaisa, we pass on Rabbi Tam. So halacha lamaisa, and this is what emerges. When you put on tefillin, you unwrap and you loosen the straps, and you put it into. You have the bias in position. Only once the bias is in position, do you even begin Baruch Ato Hashem, all the way until laniach tefillin, and only after say laniach tefillin do I then tighten. And that's the kshira means the hiduk. Correct. Because the tightening, we pass on Rabbeinu Tam, the ma'isa mitzvah is a tightening. So the ma'isa mitzvah should happen after I've already said all of the words of the Birkas HaMitzvah. This could take some practice to habituate oneself to the proper timing of the bracha. Okay, chaver yashakayach. Thank you so much.